And this is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, Walmart strikers rally outside shareholder meeting in Arkansas, and Cablevision breaks the law, then attacks the NLRB.
But now,
I'll be buried in my grave before I ever be a Walmart slave. Keeping eyes on the prize and holding on, holding on. The one thing we did right was the day we decided to strike. Keeping our eyes on the prize and holding on, holding on.
Mic check! Mic check!
Your attempts to silence us have failed.
Your attempts to silence us have failed.
Your tactics of retaliation have been exposed.
We, the associates,
and our families,
are on a ULP strike.
We want an end.
To illegal retaliation now.
We want your efforts to silence us to cease. The associates,
that you see in front of you,
are some that you tried to silence before.
We, along with those,
not here today,
won't be silent anymore.
We're on strike because we have rights.
Keeping our eyes on the prize and holding on, holding on.
And that is sound straight from Arkansas, Bentonville, the headquarters of Walmart. And the one thing we did right is, of course, to fight not to be a slave of Walmart. Walmart strikers, with assistance from our Walmart campaign, launched the first prolonged strike in the company's history, capping it with a rally outside the company's shareholder meeting in Bentonville, Arkansas. Workers began the strike more than a week ago and went on a freedom ride-inspired trek called the Ride for Respect to Walmart headquarters in Bentonville. The strike ended after the shareholder meeting. Workers from more than 30 cities joined in the ride, which was a massive education program meant to educate Walmart workers and communities about the issues of Walmart.
Among these are higher wages, more hours, health care protection against retaliation for raising workers' rights issues, and Walmart's failure to provide for the safety of workers in factories overseas that manufacture the products that the retail giant sells, such as the 1,239 garment workers who died at the Rana Plaza building collapse in Bangladesh. The strikers were joined by Kalpana Actor, Executive Director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity, who implored Walmart to take action to ensure that the factories where Walmart products are made should be safe for the workers.
And we're delighted to have with us now one of the folks who was there. And Shihai, welcome to WBAI's Building Bridges.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Was that your voice I heard in that wonderful chorus?
Well, I was singing along. It probably wasn't the main voice, but yeah, I did sing along with that. Those are definitely current events that bring back to memory a lot of the things that we chanted.
I don't want to put down Occupy Wall Street, but they very seldom in their mic checks had such gorgeous voices as we heard down there. But moving from
it was a fusion of the labor movement and Occupy Wall Street. Moving on.
Indeed. Well, right. Shihai, tell us about your experience with Walmart.
I've worked with the company for a little over a year. I'm a support manager. That means I'm pretty much managing everything from the back room, which is where the truck is unloaded and where the inventory takes place, to the customer experience, everything that has to do with the register. And I personally have seen the back stock rooms really have unsafe practices, whether it's from fire hazards, grossly understaffed. There's not enough people to actually stock the shelves, to carry out the tasks that higher-up management have us to do. Also, not having good equipment. Many of the pallet jacks or the electronic equipment used to do our jobs are not working. And speaking up about it, we faced retaliation. Me personally, my direct supervisors basically had off-color comments, you know, things that were said to me. And I spoke up about it, among many other things, and I was basically cut off from communication with my immediate management and the upper management, and the issues had not been addressed. And since then, there were just some issues with gender bias, and I'm not sure if you are familiar with the Dukes case versus Walmart.
Well, you tell us.
The Dukes case is basically a class action lawsuit that came about. It basically specified where Walmart distinctively made differences in how they treated women, whether it was regards to wages, the number of hours received, and other types of incentives. And Walmart's workforce is roughly 57% women, but the percentage that are in management is only 15%. And even though I'm in management, I still see how there's a difference made between me and my male colleague, who is a male who happens to get consistent overtime, and I might not even be scheduled 40 hours a week. Just differences, and along that, the way the communication, the chain of communication goes down, there's a very big difference. Well, in this class action lawsuit, it was basically dismantled, and the case was thrown out because essentially the judge said that Walmart was too big to sue. It would cost the company an exorbitant amount of money to settle, so it would need to be handled on a person-to-person basis. So I've decided to take my case, which I was not a part of the original case, but what I've experienced, I've escalated to the EEOC, and in turn, the EEOC is wanting to take a closer look at it based on the things that I've presented.
Fighting
and that's
back.
The Equal Opportunity Commission, EEOC.
Yes, that is correct.
Tell us about some of the other issues that some of the other, quote, associates have, especially with regard to pay and hours and other issues of intimidation and firings over union activity.
Sure. Let me start with some of the firings. There was a colleague of mine who had served 17 years with the company, Carlton, in Southern California. He was basically 2 months from retirement, but he was one of the pioneers in the Our Walmart movement, which is an organization united for respect at Walmart. We are not a union, but we do have support from community, and that does involve some unions that have helped us, you know, with legal advice and how to move along and things. Well, he has basically been a manager for the better part of his service to Walmart, and he did go on strike with the first strike that took place this past Black Friday, and he was even Employee of the Month a short time thereafter, a few days thereafter in December. And since then, all of a sudden, he's had 3 write-ups that his performance was poor, and he was essentially fired roughly 2 weeks ago, which has happened to another employee. Vanessa, she had the same thing happen to her. She was fired roughly 2 weeks ago and been with the company 8 years, 8 years of good service, no bad reports, no bad write-ups. And then all of a sudden, she's fired after a series of 3 write-ups for speaking out in her store. The working conditions, I mean, I'm not sure if you're even familiar with what happened recently in Anaheim, California, where there was a refrigerator leak, and there were 8 associates that had to have medical attention, but the whole store had to be evacuated at some point. And there are people who are working with several injuries, and even the doctor has said, you know, listen, this person is not able to go back to work, but people are afraid of losing their jobs. So they're afraid to speak out and stand up. And that was one of the reasons that we've organized. And across the board, Walmart is trying to cut corners by employing either temporary work or cutting the hours of people who are there full time. So that, well, one of the things that Walmart says it's trying to do is increase productivity. But the bad part about it is that we're not able to service the customer. So you may see a lot longer wait in line, or there's not going to be product on the shelf because, quite frankly, there aren't enough people to stock the store at night. My store in particular is about 200,000 square feet, and we've had to stock the whole store with only 11 people showing up for a shift at night. And that's pretty bad. And again, you know, these are things and issues that we've brought up to our local management, that we've brought up to the Department of Global Ethics that is in Bentonville, and they have not addressed us or addressed our concerns.
By the way, where is your store located?
My store is located in Los Angeles, California.
I'm also curious, given the terrifying tragedy of over 1,000 women, young women primarily, dying in the collapse of the building, Rana Plaza in Bangladesh, is there a sense of solidarity and understanding of responsibility for Walmart internationally in the way they respond and the abuse similarly of people such as yourself and the associates here?
Absolutely, because we strongly feel that an injury to one is an injury to all. And it was a senseless thing that happened there. There's no reason why a company as large as Walmart and some of the other retailers, but of course we're speaking out against Walmart because it happens to be the largest retailer. It just made the Forbes number one list a few weeks back. And after the U.S. Department of Defense and the Chinese Department of Defense, there's Walmart. So it's a pretty big company, and they boast about how much money they're able to make in a year's time. So they have the resources to take care of this problem. There's no reason why there's such a disregard for human life. There's no reason.
This protest, this strike of, I don't know how you'll tell us how many people, was a major escalation of the protest. Tell us what different this time from the protest, say, 6 months ago, and where things are going.
Okay. Well, let's start with the numbers are a lot different than what Walmart has been saying it is. I think it initially Walmart said that it was only 16 strikers and that it was mostly organizers. And that certainly may have been the case 2 years ago when it was first starting to come about. But this most recent strike from around the country was over 100 strikers. I don't have an exact number, but there was close to about 150 strikers from across the country. And that's a significant number to come from across the country to meet in Bentonville and to ask for accountability on Walmart's power. Now, they did not address us specifically or directly as they have in times past. Now, I've only recently become a member of our Walmart somewhere within the past 2 months, but there have been five attempts to meet in Bentonville. And previously, the management or executives would come out to the group and address the group. But this time, no one came out to address us about our concerns. I had the unique opportunity to see CEO Mike Duke leaving the shareholders meeting this past Friday, and I asked him if he had a moment for questions, and he brushed by and said he didn't have time, but he didn't make time either. He didn't say, well, contact my secretary or contact this person who may be better able to service your request or anything like that. So he, once again, to me, that's a blatant disregard for us who are trying to come in a nonviolent, peaceful way to address concerns. So that means basically when we get back to our communities, and we do have a large network of community support so far. People have either donated to have people like Calpona come into town. People have contributed to our strike pay. People have done various events in the local stores where they've been leafleting and trying to advise people of what has happened.
There's a lot more to discuss, but we're running out of time. So what I'd like you to do is to tell people where they can find out more information. What's the website? Where can people go for more information?
Absolutely. ForRespect.org. That's where you can find out where we, one, can get employees' assistance. And if there's anything you'd like to do, and just basically tracking our progress, from everything that happened to the strike to things that are upcoming, forrespect.org is the place where you can find out all the information about what we're doing.
Well, with strong women like yourself in the lead, we are going to break the back of that plutocracy, really, that is pretty much what Walmart has become. We're going to unionize it, and we're going to restore the dignity and the wage and benefits that workers should be getting, and that's internationally. And I want to thank you for your good voice in the chorus and in the chorus of social justice in organizing the associates and the community to support the associates for unionization of Walmart. Shihai, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm a proud new member of CWA 1109, Brooklyn, New York.
One day stronger, another day. set is just full of corruption. Now it's time for the 99, cause we're drinking quarter waters and Dolan sipping wine. They talk about strikes and union dues, but they have no answers for the real issues, like a livable wage and enough sick days, a pension plan for the retirement age. We are the UNION, and we're taking a stand, and we're organizing. We're taking control of our destiny, like a fearless lion. You can't mess with me, cause we have the right to organize. So don't get deceived by the fear and lies. They try to be slick and offer us bribes and ask for second chances, just like the wolf cries.
One day stronger.
And we have a whole bunch of great union singers this evening. Well, we're talking about Cablevision. The cable giant is asking the federal court to undermine the authority of the National Labor Relations Board in pursuing complaints charging Cablevision with multiple violations of labor law. Since Brooklyn technicians voted to unionize more than a year ago, Cablevision has refused to bargain in good faith. Cablevision actually fired 23 workers in Brooklyn after the workers used management's open door policy to talk to a vice president about how the company was stonewalling their first contract bargaining.
Cablevision has illegally intimidated workers, brazenly violated federal law by firing workers for protected activity, while refusing to offer any improvements in wages to the newly unionized technicians in Brooklyn. And with us to talk about this is Tim Dubnow, Organizing Coordinator, District 1, Communication Workers of America. Tim, welcome to Building Bridges.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tim, let's start off with the violations that the company Cablevision, which owns Madison Square Garden and Cablevision and Newsday and probably a few other things, those violations that you have been contesting and brought to the National Labor Relations Board, and which Cablevision basically wants to say you can't even go there because the National Labor Relations Board is dead and is trying to kill it.
That's exactly right. You know, we've been organizing for many years in CWA, and we've come across a lot of pretty bad employers. If there was a prize that would go out for, like, the worst employer that we've ever witnessed, it's definitely James Dolan and Cablevision.
I always thought that about James Dolan in general, but we can take that up.
There's a lot not to like about him. He really sort of epitomizes the 1% in New York, and the Labor Board did this investigation, and they basically found that every single thing that we had charged the company with, indeed, that they did. So, for instance, they fired 22 workers just for asking management to bargain fairly. 22 workers went into the company using what the company calls their open door policy, where they say that any worker can come in any time and talk to management about anything that they have on their chest. They can talk about it in a way that they shouldn't fear any reprisal. So 22 workers went in. And they said, we want to talk to you about why you're bargaining in bad faith with our union. You're not bargaining. The company's answer basically was to say you're all fired. We filed a complaint at the National Labor Relations Board, and the board found that was a complete illegal maneuver by the company's part. The NLRB found that James Dolan himself has offered bribes to people illegally. The NLRB found that the company spies on union supporters, made threats. James Dolan personally went to the Bronx 2 days before we had an election there, and personally went to the garage and said, listen, if you vote for the union, I'm going to leave you behind, just the way I left the Brooklyn workers behind. And then what he did is he spent millions of dollars giving 15,000 workers in the footprint, 15,000 people, roughly a 17% increase. Every single worker, except for the 282 workers that we represent. And he basically told people, this is what happens when you're non-union, and when you're union, you don't get a raise. And so the board found that all these were violations of the law. And rather than face the court on July 8th, the company has hired Scalia of the Supreme Court's Scalia, his son, to go into district court and rule that the whole entire National Labor Relations Board has no right to fight anymore. And rather than face the music, that's what he's doing.
Gee, it's all in the family in terms of Scalia, a reactionary Supreme Court justice. Well, this is quite extraordinary. So for the moment, let's talk about where the Brooklyn workers are at this particular time.
Yeah. So in any other campaign, this would work, right? When you bribe people, spy on them, fire them, bargain in bad faith, and any other scenario.
I don't know. Our government's doing that, but we'll leave. But that's another story.
This has made these workers stronger. Clearly, the companies have miscalculated. Like, they've done this every single step of the way. They've calculated if you fire 22 people, they'll run away. And we got stronger. The community came on board. Every single mayoral candidate condemned the company. We had basically a who's who's of the elected officials condemning the company. We had a massive rally within 24 hours of them firing people. We had 22 of the workers who got fired go to Albany and lobby, and the company couldn't deal with the heat, and they brought all 22 people back, basically on pressure. But now we're going to the NLRB, and they have to have this trial on July 8th, and they can't face the music, and so they figured, you know what, let's just destroy the NLRB, which really is, in a lot of ways, the last line of defense for working people. Not that it's an agency with much teeth, but it's like a butter knife instead of maybe a stiletto. but they're trying to destroy the butter knife, right?
Tim, I think maybe some our audience it doesn't really understand what's going on with the NLRB, yeah. That the Cablevision is using a situation to basically bring this to a head. So why don't you brief us on what's going on and how the Dolans are using the controversy with regard to interim appointments?
Obama appoints people to the National Labor Relations Board, five people, three Democrats and two Republicans. Historically, that's what happens, right? The group in power gets to have the majority. So the Republicans have been threatening to filibuster every single nomination. So about a year ago, Obama appointed two people during a recess appointment to the NLRB so it can function. The right wing basically said that that was not a legitimate appointment, even though this is what's happened historically over the years. The right wing circuit court in D.C. found that the appointment was unconstitutional, which is bad enough. And so there are three companies that are taking it a step further, Cablevision being one of them, which is saying, we take the position since the five appointed people in D.C. in the NLRB were not appointed constitutionally, according to this one court. We're taking the position that every single staff person throughout the NLRB, in all the offices around the country, that they have no jurisdiction, they have no right to even enforce the law. And therefore, because the regional director in New York City has ruled, in Brooklyn, has ruled that they violate all these rules and fired people and intimidated people and bargained in bad faith, that because of the court case in D.C., they don't have to even go to a trial here, that it's not functioning. So if they win this, it means that there's no more NLRB, that workers no longer have, even on paper, the right to form a union. It would be quite horrendous if they win this case. It has a lot of implications around the country.
And, Tim, we should also say that Cablevision has spent more on union-busting attorneys and way more on CEO compensation than it would cost to settle the contract.
You're absolutely right, Mimi. It's laughable. We're talking about 282 workers in Brooklyn out of a workforce of 17,000 people. It's 0.01% of the workforce. And rather than bargain a contract, they've given everyone in a footprint a 17% raise except for these people. Dolan is so ideologically part of the right wing, so ideologically opposed to union, he will cut off his nose to spite his face. He will spend a lot of money that if the shareholders knew half of the money that he's spending on this, they would have his head. Just to stop a union, it doesn't make any sense. It's ideological.
Tim, what do we do in the community? Because I really do want to do something to protest Tim Dolan. I won't even get into what I think he's done to basketball and all the sports and other stuff that's gone on, but that's all part of it. Yes. He really is a totalitarian in every sense of the word. Yes. What do we do to support our fellow workers in Cablevision, particularly the Brooklyn and the Bronx crew, who are seeking to organize drives and really who are trying to bargain in good faith for a contract?
I recommend that people check out our website, www.thecablevision99.org, and there's a lot of great information there, and more importantly, our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/cablevision99. And I will tell you that CWA, with our allies in the community, have launched a comprehensive campaign, both in the streets, in Albany, in the city council, to use our First Amendment rights to educate New Yorkers about how evil this guy really is. There's going to be a city council hearing on discussing whether or not Madison Square Garden should get a 50-year lease instead of a 10-year lease for Madison Square Garden. As citizens of New York will be using our First Amendment rights to basically try to convince the city council on that date that we shouldn't do any favors for union busters. And, you know, so we joined with Community Board 5, which has taken a very clear position that it's not good government, it's not good practice to extend a lease in Madison Square Garden for 50 years for a company like this for a lot of reasons.
Hey, it's easy enough to get to the Barclays Center.
That's right. I mean, you know, there's plenty to criticize, I'm sure, for a lot of these people in the 1%, but Dolan is
absolutely
really. So if anyone wants to join us on June 19th in Community Board 5 and the CWA and our allies at the hearing, you can go onto our Facebook page and Facebook us, and we'll you know, message us, and we'll give you some information on that.
And it's imperative that we support our fellow workers, the Cablevision workers, and we make sure that Cablevision, who has been breaking the law, can't continue its attacks and try, in effect, to break the National Labor Relations Board as well. So we must support CWA and our fellow workers. And tell us that website one more time.
Sure. It's www.thecablevision99.org. And let me just close by say that, you know, we have a saying in CWA, and it's people in Cablevision all know it. We're going to last one day longer and one day stronger. And so we're going to definitely win this fight.
Music to my ears.
Indeed we are, and we're going to see you on June 19th also to make sure they don't get that extended lease. And we're going to go out again with the Cablevision chorus.
Let's hear it now.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
We are the UNION, and we're taking a stand, and we're organizing. We're taking control of our destiny like a
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.